The thing I love about doing the podcast on a regular basis is that I get to talk to the great and the near great, the famous and the infamous. But I think this is the first one in over 3 years of doing podcasts where I've ever gotten to interview the actual star of a major Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Could you tell me what movie you were the star in?
Godzilla.
And you were the title role.
Yes, I was.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 169, Our Featured Creature. The best part of living in L.A. is all the interesting people you meet who make their livings in the various parts of show business. Kurt Carley plays creatures in such movies as The Underworld series and Land of the Lost. He started off our conversation by telling me the preferred term, the job title that's actually on his business card.
Suit performer.
Suit performer. So not only have you played Godzilla, but you were the Sleestaks in Land of the Lost.
Yes.
This creature's in Lady in the Water?
Yeah, I played a Tartuttic in Lady in the Water. There were three of us, yeah.
Okay.
And a shark in Lethal Weapon 4. Me and another guy puppeteered a shark. I've been werewolves in the Underworld movies.
Wow.
And I was the plant in Little Shop of Horrors back in New York, the off-Broadway musical. I did that.
Oh, my gosh.
Some other stuff. I played giant robots and dragons. Uh-huh. Anything you need with a guy in a suit with a zipper up the back. But, you know, and I'm not even the top guy in Hollywood to do it, you know.
Really? Wait a second. Really?
No, I'm not the top guy.
Who's the top guy?
Oh, there's a couple. I don't want to name names.
No, all right. Fair enough.
But a couple of my friends, they work all the time. And they work in, you know, big, high-profile movies. Like, I would say, he played blah, blah, blah in such a movie. You go, oh, my gosh, that was a guy in
that
a
suit. That was a guy in a suit. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. He played Idi Amin in The Last King of Scotland. I thought that was Forrest Whitaker, but it's your friend in a suit?
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But like Andy Serkis, who did who played Gollum in The Lord of the Rings and King Kong in the remake, is he like the Olivier for guys like you? Or is that a totally different thing?
No, it's similar, but it's different because I've done motion capture, which is what he was doing, or motion performance, whatever they call it. That's really easy work. It's very fast. The suit is very light. You're basically wearing a leotard.
Right.
It probably gets a little tedious, but it beats working for a living. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the stuff I do, it's like you got this heavy suit on, you're wearing stilts or leg extensions to make yourself like 8 feet tall.
Right.
You're locked up in the suit for maybe 4 or 5 hours at a time.
Oh.
So it helps to not be claustrophobic.
Yeah, I would imagine. But there's nothing, I mean, looking at you, there's nothing remotely serpentine or lupine or even mechanical about you. How did you fall into this business of making your living as a suit performer?
Many years ago, through a strange series of events, I got into a production of Little Shop of Horrors in a regional theater.
Okay.
And I was good enough that people introduced me to the man who created the plant for Little Shop of Horrors in New York.
Okay.
And I got a phone call one day, go to New York, they want to audition you, and I auditioned, and I got a job. Now, I was an understudy, and I did get to go on a few times, but
as the plant.
As the plant, yeah.
Yeah, as Audrey.
And then you meet people. I started doing puppets for this puppet company in New York City. And then about 10 years later, I moved out here and auditioned for Godzilla.
Okay.
And then you meet, it's like any other business. It's who you know.
Right.
And they realize, okay, this guy's good. He's not a drug addict.
Right.
He shows up on time. He can do the work. Right. We can stand to be around him for 15 hours a day. That's a big part of how you get work.
It is so much about how you get work. I mean, we've had good actors work for the Reduced Shakespeare Company that no longer work for the Reduced Shakespeare Company because they're a lot of work.
Yeah. No one wants to be with a jerk for 15 hours a day.
Exactly. Did you start out as a quote-unquote real actor, a non-suit performer? And do you still get to do any of that?
I started out as a regular actor, but I got the opportunity to go to New York to do the job to do Little Shop, and it was like, I'm making 400% more a week as an understudy doing that rather than living in this small town, you know, making 140 bucks a week.
Right.
So I was like, I think I'll do that. And but I'll be honest with you, it beats working for a living.
Sure.
So that's really the motivation.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there are so many different ways to make your living in show business. And this is just, I mean, yours is one of the most interesting ways I can think of, because it sounds like, I mean, you're still performing. Does the suit do all the work? I mean,
in a lot of cases?
A lot of times, first of all, you really do have a whole army of people to make these suits. I mean, the man who designs it. And then they have to sculpt. Someone has to sculpt out of clay what the suit looks like. And then very skillful people have to make a mold of this suit. And then generally they're women, the seamstresses. They have to sew that thing together. Mm-hmm. And then all the stuff underneath the suit, like the corsets and stuff that you have to wear under the suit. And then the painting that goes in to paint the suit. Like the very talented people that no one knows about.
Yeah, right.
And when I first came out here to work on Godzilla, I got to meet all these people. And I said, wow, it's an army of people to make this. So the suit does a lot of the work for you, because they're made very well by the best people Hollywood has to offer.
Yeah.
But you still have to, on the day, you got to bring it.
Well, and Godzilla, you had to bring it underwater as well, didn't you?
No, that was all CG.
All the underwater CG. So what did you were in the climbing around, crushing small things?
I did a little bit of that. I broke through a lot of stuff. Broke through streets. I broke through sides of buildings. Tunnel.
Madison Square Garden.
I did that too. We did a lot of motion capture for that. Not a lot, if any, made it into the final cut of the movie. So I remember we actually worked on the swimming. We were trying to think of a way to do a serpentine swim.
What's your physical background? I mean, do you have physical dance training? I mean, movement training? What?
I was very blessed. I had a movement teacher in college who used to be a Mamanchance. And he was really good at being very specific, like, this is this, and that is not that. And that helped me a lot because, and then I had a acting teacher in New York who was it was very sensory work. Like, this is, you know, you have to create this cup or, and it sounds crazy, but it really did help. Like, when you go to auditions, they say, okay, you're being chased by the army and you need to find an overhang and I need you to create that for me. And it's raining. And so all that stuff, because you have to do, like, when you're doing motion capture, you have to bring all that physicality to what you're doing. I also want to make sure everyone knows I'm not trying to make what I do more important than it is. I know what I do for a living. I'm not trying to make it like I'm Laurence Olivier. I'm not. But you have to attend to that stuff.
Yeah, well, you do. I mean, it's like any craft. You have to pay attention to the details and pay attention to the specifics of your craft.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You're Joe Lunchbox. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, this is, everybody talks about the Hollywood, well, everybody, you know, Republican jerks. That's who talk about, you know, oh, Hollywood is so elite. But everybody I know in this business, because I don't know that many big stars, everybody I know in this business are blue-collar guys who just want to do their work and do it well, you know? And it just so happens that you have what, to me, sounds like one of the coolest jobs in Hollywood.
Thank you. Yes, I want to go to work. I want to exceed people's expectations because that's how you also keep working.
Right.
But, yeah, I want to do a good job. I know I'm playing a monster with a zipper up the back, but I want to pull my weight on set.
Well, and in a certain way, it's a little bit more, it's a little purely theatrical, because, like, in the theater, you don't have resources. You don't have even costumes with a zipper up the back. You have to pretend in other ways, but you got to sell it. You got to make it real. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that way, I mean, it seems what you're doing is just so inherently theatrical, you know? Create the illusion, sell the illusion, make it believable, because that's what we're trying to do in our business, is try to tell stories.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Elizabeth Dennehy, or Lieutenant Commander Shelby from Star Trek Next Generation. I'd like to welcome you to the Redux Shakespeare Company's podcast. Well, at least it's not a convention.
Where can you see the RSC? This week, we begin our two-week run of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, at the New Victory Theater in New York City. But then we're back off around the country to Nevada, Missouri, Salina, Kansas, Lincoln, Nebraska, Hanover, New Hampshire, Ithaca, New York, Morristown, New Jersey, Reston, and Norfolk, Virginia. And then we return to the San Diego Repertory Theater and the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. in June. Go to producedshakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. Was the Godzilla audition just specifically because you were the right height?
That was a lot to it. Yeah, when they initially called me, they said, you have to be 6'3". Okay. If you come out here and you're not 6'3", we're not going to see you. And fortunately, I am. And that 6'3" range is optimal for suit performing, from my experience. Because a lot of time, like on Godzilla, we did 1/24 scale.
Okay.
So, like, they literally built 1/24 scale streets of New York City with 1/24 scale cars and mailboxes and street lamps. And
so everything is 1/24th the size of what it would normally be in real life.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And people who are about this height are, you're tall enough that it's big enough that it looks to scale.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're too tall, nothing against people who are really tall, but sometimes they're kind of gangly.
Yeah, right.
And it doesn't look right.
So it's not just the height, it's the proportions as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that works whether you are a slee stack or a werewolf or whatever the thing was in Lady in the Water?
I won't say, I can't say categorically, but generally all my peers are about my height.
So in the Underworld movies, for instance, is it you and, 100 other people in werewolf outfits, or is it you and two other guys that they double up in different scenes and then add CGI werewolf extras in the back?
The second thing. Yeah, it's me and, like, three other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Generally a couple stunt guys, maybe three or four stunt guys, who wear a special suit, a stunt suit, which is a lot more forgiving and doesn't have all the mechanics in the head that we wear.
Right.
And then they replicate us on with CG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you also a puppeteer in a certain sense? You're wearing this suit, but are you having to control the eyes or the mouths or the fangs or whatever you've got?
All that is done with remote control. They have a puppeteer with a remote control, like a remote control airplane thing. And so you'll have one guy who does the ears and the eyebrows. Another guy does the mouth. Right. And so before a scene, you'll say, okay, I need to start here and then turn my head and body to the left.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a roar there so that we have to all three of us coordinate. Arching my shoulders back for the roar to come out, then the mouth opens and the eyes open and all that stuff. So I have got enough to worry about. I can't be moving the eyes, and I wouldn't even know how to do it.
But when you were doing the puppet, you got started as Audrey II, mm-hmm. as a puppet. That is more of a puppeteer performance. But I guess you are wearing that. You are standing in the plant suit, aren't you?
You do. There's four plants in that show, and I do three of them.
Okay.
The first plant is just the little baby one that he feeds and grows, and that's just a very simple. You just put your hand in the bottom of the pot,
right.
And just make the plant move.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting in the second one that I wear the first time the plant talks, and then the big one in the second act that
right.
I'm standing inside or squatting inside doing my work.
And do you, so when you're on the big movies now with Matthew Broderick or Michael Sheen and Kate Beckinsale in the Underworld movies, are you interacting with those guys or at all? I mean, do you ever get a moment in the Alien movie where the alien is sticking its tongue out and licking Sigourney Weaver? Do you get that much interaction with the non-suit performers?
Yes, you do. And it doesn't happen a lot because most of the time we're standing over there and they have a weapon of some kind and they shoot us.
Yes.
But sometimes in one of those movies I had to, like, fight Kate and I had to fight Scott.
Uh-huh.
And, physical fight. And so, I was very close, very close quarters, as close as we're talking right now.
So are you a stunt guy as well?
I have too much respect for stunt people, so I would not call myself a stunt person.
Yeah, right,
those guys, that's why we have guys who wear stunt suits, because they're getting yanked back on wires, and they're doing high falls with a costume on where they're it's hard to see, it's hard to hear.
Right.
So I've done some stunt things, right, but I would not walk around and say, "Oh, I'm a stuntman."
Yeah. Well, so in the close-ups, you know, Kate Beckinsale is doing her kicks, and you're doing your thing, and then for the wide or something dramatic, they can cut to the stunt people for both of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just think this is fascinating. I mean, A, it appeals to the little boy in me. Yeah. You know, it just goes, oh, what? You get the coolest job in Hollywood. But also just the fact that you can make a living doing this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, although the CG is taking up a lot of stuff. And you know what? That's fine. You know, that's the way it's going to be.
So like what they did in Avatar, motion capture plus CG on top.
Yeah, exactly. We were very blessed. Len Wiseman, who directed the first two Underworld movies, he likes having guys in suits, like for close-up shots. And that's really nice. But, you know, in 10 years, computers get so good. Every 6 months, they get so much better. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's guys in rubber suits or it's going to go away.
Right. Well, God, I hope not. I mean, it just seems to be so much of the great cheese appeal of this those kinds of movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, that's one thing we kind of say when I work with a friend of mine. It's like we say, don't get caught acting, and that's like because the one thing you don't want to do is don't make it look like a guy in a rubber suit.
Yeah.
Don't, because it just, you know, ruins it for everybody.
Well, and that's that's true for quote unquote, you know, real actors, you know, non-suit performers, you know, don't get caught.
Yeah.
And in my case, my suit is just the hair. I just let my hair and the glasses do all the work. Is there like are there things you go in on that you don't get and you're really disappointed?
Yeah. Like, oh, sure. Yeah. I won't say the project, but I auditioned for this thing and they had me in there a long time, and I'm thinking, like, are you taking all my ideas? Anyway.
Yes. But there's that. Yeah, right.
I maybe have an inflated opinion of myself. But I have, like, this certain project that was like, I don't know who they hired, but I said they must have hired somebody's cousin because there's no way, like, whoever they hired is better than I am. No way.
Well, and didn't you? I see that Predator is on your business card.
Yeah.
And you played the Predator in something?
Yeah, I was in a short film called Batman Dead End, where Batman fights the Predator, an alien.
Wow.
And it's a short 5-minute film, and I think it's pretty good. It's on the YouTube.
On the YouTube, yeah. On the interwebs. Kurt, thank you so much for talking. This is such a... I hope you think it's cool, because I know I do and a lot of other people do.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your featured creatures via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Swamp Thing Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Christy D'Souza. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Elizabeth Dennehy from Star Trek The Next Generation, who's a bit of a featured creature herself, and to Kurt Carley, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 169/507 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I only wish that there were more creatures in suits in Shakespeare plays. Do you have any Shakespeare background or experiences or brushes with Shakespearean greatness?
Yeah, my brush with Shakespearean greatness was Derek Jacobi was in one of these movies where I played a werewolf.
But the Underworld movie.
Yeah. And so I had no scenes with him. I never saw him once on set. And but I did keep for a while the call sheet that had my name and his name. I eventually threw it away. But yeah, I kept it for a while.
Did it say Sir Derek Jacobi?
No, I don't think it. Maybe it did. I don't remember.
Did you write in Sir Kurt Carley?
No.
Damn, an opportunity missed. This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
And so much less.